Okay, our next presentation is predicting heat stress in cotton using probabilistic canopy temperature forecast by Emily Chris. Left. Mm-hmm. You need to start summing it up.
Okay.
So just when you see that sum up, you can start 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So right there. So there you go.
Okay.
Okay. Are you ready?
Yes, sir. Okay. Well, thanks for being here this morning. My name is Emily Crist, and it's been a pleasure to work with Peter Webster and Violetta Toma of Georgia Tech, John Snyder of the University of Georgia, Derek Osterhaus of the University of Arkansas, and Daryl Chastain of Mississippi State University while completing this research. The title of my presentation is Predicting Heat Stress in Cotton Using Probabilistic Canopy Temperature Forecast, and this research was supported by Cotton Incorporated. So we're all too familiar with the effects of heat stress on humanity. Some of you may remember the 1995 Chicago heat wave that killed hundreds. And every year, unfortunately, situations like that happen across the globe. But in our country, we're fortunate to have the National Weather Service that plans ahead and actually issues excessive heat warnings or excessive heat watches or heat advisories when they feel like periods of heat stress are coming on. And actually, the country of India, the city of Ahmedabad, developed a heat action plan to protect its citizens last year using probabilistic forecasts that I'll be discussing in this presentation. So the point here is to try to develop a similar heat stress warning system for cotton in this instance, but for plants in general. So the first thing that we needed to do was develop a plant temperature model for cotton. And in doing that, the first thing we needed to do was define really what heat stress is. And I'll go over a couple of things. First of all, you all know that when you're dealing with heat stress, sometimes it's difficult to differentiate between heat stress and water stress. So in this experiment, all the experimental plots were well watered by the checkbook method. And in our research, some of the research really tended to emphasize air temperature and not plant temperature. And sometimes, depending on the conditions, that's not always a good indicator of canopy temperature. So we decided to define heat stress with respect to the thermal kinetic window. So we decided that any time that the plant canopy temperature exceeded the thermal kinetic window, which is 32 degrees C for cotton, then that would mean that cotton is under heat stress. So the second thing we needed to do is collect data. And we were able to collect measured canopy temperature data and measured weather data at the Stripling Irrigation Research Park located near Camilla, Georgia, here at the tip of this arrow. The experimental data that we used has been published by John Snyder in 2015. So you can, if you want to know more about how the actual plots were set up, you can refer to that material. The measured weather data was gathered by the Georgia Automated Environmental Monitoring Network, and they have a station located there at Camilla. So after we gathered all that information, we were able to develop a 24-hour model using linear regression. And this was for canopy temperature. So we're modeling canopy temperature. We used air temperature, vapor pressure, wind speed, and solar radiation to do this. And you can see that all of these variables were statistically significant at the 95% confidence interval by these very low p-values. This is the equation we were able to develop. And these plots just show that the assumptions for linear regression held and that the residuals followed a normal distribution, and we didn't see any nonlinearities in the residuals when we plotted them in order. So even though we developed the model using 2013 data, we also fit it. We wanted to see how well it fit to the 2014 canopy temperature. So we were able to to get an R-squared value of 0.93, which I thought was pretty good, especially considering that 2013 was a bit below average year and 2014 was an average year. So the next thing we needed to do was develop canopy temperature forecasts for cotton. And what we did was we took this canopy temperature model and we used an atmospheric model to predict the variables that we used to model canopy temperature. So we used this atmospheric model to predict air temperature, solar radiation, wind, and vapor pressure. The model that we used is a global atmospheric model. It's the European Center for Medium Range Weather Forecast Ensemble Prediction System. Because it's an ensemble system, it produced multiple forecasts for each grid point, and we used the 10-day forecast in this experiment. So once we picked out our model, we needed to collect the atmospheric forecast data to use, and for this model, we had to do a conversion from dew point temperature to vapor pressure, and that's seen with this equation here. And then the next thing we need to do with this atmospheric model, it gives you four data points for each day. Okay, so basically it's 6-hour intervals. So we wanted to turn that into 24-hour forecasts. So basically we took historical curves of what typical air temperature, dew point, wind speed, and solar radiation look like for a typical day in the Camilla region. And we used Fourier analysis to basically fit those four data points to those curves. So we were able to come up with hourly values. And this is what we got. We got an output forecast, which is probabilistic. So that means that we were able to get 51 forecasts for each hour, okay? We decided that the probability of heat stress would equal the number of ensemble members, or it's basically the number of forecasts greater than 32 degrees C divided by the total number of ensemble members, which that's 51 for this forecast model. The next thing we needed to do was apply, or the next thing that we wanted to do was apply statistical bias correction to improve the direct model output, because with many times with numerical weather prediction, these models show bias with respect to regions. Okay, so we wanted to try to overcome this. So we calculated the mean bias. We did this with the 2013 data. And the way that we did this was we took the ensemble mean for each hour, so we took this mean and we subtracted the actual observation, okay, and then we averaged that for each hour over the entire season for 2013. Okay, so what you get is something like this, where you have, you know, maybe the direct model output tends to under forecast temperature for a period of time during the day, and then we put in these bias corrections that hopefully help this out. And next, we wanted to analyze the canopy temperature results to see if this coupled model actually works. Are the forecasts actually skillful? So in order to do this, it's very common in the atmospheric sciences to create contingency tables. These are very simple. It just divides each forecast into whether the event was observed, yes or no, or the event was forecast, yes or no. There are four categories. A hit means that the event was observed and forecast. False alarm means the event was not observed, but it was forecast. Misses mean that the event was forecast. The event was observed, but the event was not forecast. And then correct rejection means that the event was not observed nor forecast. So from those tables, we're able to take the hit and the false alarms and create what are called relative operating characteristic diagrams. So I'll explain this to you. Any line below this black line means that the forecast was not skillful. Okay. The closer the lines are to this upper left-hand corner, the better. Okay. And we can calculate the rock area by just taking the area under the curve. The closer the forecast is to one, the better the forecast. So over here you see we have the direct model output from lead day one all the way down to 10. And then we have the bias corrected forecast from lead day one all the way down to 10. And in each case, the bias corrected forecast outperformed the direct model output. And I'm going to skip these two slides because I'm running a little bit short on time, but they just show, again, that the bias corrections improved the direct model output. So now that we know that we can couple these the canopy temperature model with an atmospheric model and get skillful forecasts, we wanted to put this into a system that a producer could just very quickly look at and say, okay, this is what I expect over the next 10 days or the next 24 hours with respect to heat stress. So this is what we got. And if you can imagine this without the black line, the black lines are the actual observations, okay? These stem plots are what we would say a producer would get on a day-to-day basis. On this axis, you have the probability of heat stress. On the x-axis, you have time. On the left-hand plot, that's day. On the right-hand plot, that's hour. The different advisory levels are indicated by the color. So here you have red indicating warning. You have orange indicating advisory, you have yellow indicating watch, and you have green indicating that heat stress is unlikely. In this case, we do have the observations plotted along here on the black, and we do have this 32 degrees C line, which is our threshold for heat stress. So you can see here that the forecast did a decent job of looking ahead. It did miss it by a day. It missed this transition from heat stress to non-heat stress conditions by about a day. But it did a pretty good job of indicating that there was going to be a pattern change late in the period. And this circled stem is the actual 24-hour period that's plotted here. So you can see that the forecast did actually an excellent job of indicated the actual hours during the day in which heat stress would be observed for a grower. So to kind of conclude things, we were able to model canopy temperature given air temperature, vapor pressure, solar radiation, and wind speed. One model was found to be suitable for the entire diurnal or 24-hour period. We were able to successfully couple the canopy temperature model with the ECMWF EPS atmospheric model. The bias corrections did improve the forecast, and those forecasts were shown to be skillful for up to 10 days. And then we were able to develop a heat stress warning system designed to inform growers of the probability of heat stress in the near term. And I think that there are some positive implications for this. I think that these coupled systems allow us to put weather information in terms producers can very easily understand and very quickly make decisions based upon. Using probabilistic forecasts provide producers the chance to understand the uncertainty in the forecast a little bit more than just your standard deterministic or one-shot forecast. And I think that delivering reliable weather forecasts specifically for agricultural interests has the potential to make a large positive impact within the industry. And finally, I'd like to thank our support, Cotton Incorporated, and our partners, and thank you for your time. Do you have any questions? Yes?
I noticed that a lot of the factors that you used are similar to typical environmental models like the NMIC. I wondered if you might talk for just a minute about the effect of crop coefficient, or in other words, the amount of water that's used by growth stage in the cotton and the effect that it would have on this model.
I'm not sure. We haven't explored that issue.
How, when you're talking about forecasting stress, how do you know how much water this cotton is actually going to be using based on your stress model? Are you ignoring the latent T portion of the model then? Or?
Well, for this experiment, we considered that the crops were well watered. They were all well watered. I think John went by the checkbook method. So we didn't consider we assumed that the crops were not under water stress. And I'm not sure if that answered your question or not. Yes, sir.
What do you anticipate that the producer would do with the heat stress forecast data. So I know that Thursday it's going to be heat stress. As a producer, what's the value of that?
So some experts have indicated that you could apply a very light application of irrigation, like a tenth of an inch, and that this helps prevent heat stress, adverse heat stress effects with cotton. And also, as I understand it, there are some compounds under development that hopefully could be used in the future.
Thank you, Emily. Let's give her a big hand.